case you just can't get rid of a bomb.
And welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. Now officially at the end of the season. Well, close.
Almost.
Almost. If it wasn't for a pesky suspect package in the toilets there at Old Trafford. And, you know, it's easily done, isn't it? You go on these staff training days, don't you?
Yep.
And they hand out a load of freebies.
Yep.
And you think, oh, this is quite good. And then you just leave them, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah,
because you don't, you know, it's too big for your bag or something. And you can see what someone did, can't you? They went to the toilet, they put that down, and said, "Right, I'll just put that down there." Did their things, and then obviously,
yeah,
a couple of minutes later,
afterwards,
yeah,
you would have forgot to pick up the fake bomb.
Do you know what? He must have been going home. He must have been sat on the tram on his way home, thinking, "What have I forgotten? What have I forgotten?" And we've probably thought, "Oh God, I'm really in trouble when I get home, aren't I?"
I do hope
it's anniversary,
was a,
isn't it, or something like that.
I do hope it's a real fake bomb. It was a black sphere with TNT written on it.
Oh, well, just the word bomb, I
reckon. Oh, bomb.
Yeah.
Boom.
Bomb. Yeah. With an exclamation mark.
Acme boom. Light and stand well back.
Yeah. Do not return once lit.
It was some instructions with Roadrunner. Yeah. And Wile E. Coyote.
Of course we can laugh, can't we? We can laugh because
it wasn't an actual bomb.
It wasn't actually,
and
it was very, very, very serious at the time,
yes,
wasn't it?
Of course,
of course we were right to be very, very serious about it.
Yeah.
But now it's hilarious. Now someone really, really cocked up.
Yeah, that's right.
Which makes it fine for people like us, you know.
Yeah, because we're not the ones who cocked up, and so they're not the ones likely to lose our jobs.
Yes. Yeah. People have very, very low amounts of responsibility in our lives. It's time for people like us to really like have a laugh, especially as it's probably a group of health and safety people.
Yes. Indeed. And I mean, they're just up from traffic wardens.
Yeah.
Or let's laugh, ridicule them, and hate them.
Say. Yeah, we've all had health and safety lectures, haven't we?
Yes.
And we all know how condescending they are.
Yeah.
They're usually former fire officers, aren't they? They've seen such horrors in their life. They've got this very blank expression now and this very blank monotone voice, haven't they?
Yeah, the old 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah. What you've really got to be careful for is any lit flames. If you see a lit flame, do not try and put it out with your hands. It's very, very hot.
Or buckets of petrol.
Did I tell you about... Did I tell you about the time I lifted my friend's face off the ground because he was being burnt by backdraft?
Scarred you the 1970s, hasn't it? It really got to you.
Yeah.
You know, never again. That's why I went into health and safety. Now, where did I put my bomb?
Oh, dear.
Well, where were these people going?
Maureen, have you seen my bomb?
Yeah, he's probably watching the game. And like, just sat at home.
Just tapping his chest.
Oh, it's my bomb. That's what it was.
No, I don't think he would go like that. He would go, oh, it's my bomb. I've left my bomb behind. It would be like this sudden realisation that the bomb, and he knows exactly where it is, and he's rendered entirely mute. And he sits there.
Oh, come on, we've all been there, haven't we?
And his missus knows that he knows. She knows he's done something terrible, and she just... can't bring herself. Do you want some tea, dear? I left the bomb behind. It was me who left the bomb behind. And then that'll be that.
Oh. Do you think as well, because it's a fake bomb, it will look exactly like ones do in the film. So it'll have all those like red digits on it, wouldn't it, really? All the wires coming out of it, wouldn't it?
Is it digital or analogue?
It's not
a big fucking analogue timer.
It's not going to have one of those big copper alarm clocks on it, is it?
The one that James Bond lifted out of Inspired Avenue. We're covering all the bases here, aren't we? Covering them all.
Well, this is
the best podcast we've ever done.
Yes, and it's all because it wasn't a real bomb.
All because it wasn't a real bomb. And it's fun. That's why it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. It's okay.
Yes. It wouldn't have been funny if it had been an actual bomb.
No, and well done to all the emergency services for all the great things.
And
that
their quick thinking, and absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So.
Hats off.
In other news, some football games broke out.
Yeah, they did.
Anti-climax Sunday, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
As far as the TV was concerned.
Yeah.
And especially with the United game being called off, postponed, I don't know why it was called Abandoned, because, you know, they hadn't kicked off, had they?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't have an explanation for that. I care not to speculate. But yes, it is interesting that they use the word abandoned.
Yes.
And I too am sad enough to think, why are they saying abandoned and not postponed?
It's not as if some dense fog has come down.
No, it's not
as if floodlight failure has happened. You know,
true.
And everyone's been standing around on the pitch saying, well, what do we do now? What do we do now? No.
Get the orange ball out.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know.
Well, I thought it was a bit of a shame because Sky showed three games.
Yeah.
Well, they actually ended up showing two games, but they were supposed to show three games, and he was disappointed that they weren't able to say, well, we can't show this game, so we're going to go and show another game, he said.
Yes.
I can only assume that they don't have the rights to do that.
Yeah.
Which seems odd, because you always imagine Sky can do anything they like.
Yeah.
Maybe they couldn't do this.
The story they always say is the fact that it's the Premier League who comes up with the formats.
Right.
With the timing of the kickoffs and how many live games they can show.
Mm.
So I don't think they can. Because I don't know whether or not it's just my old age playing tricks on me, but I seem to remember them actually going from ground to ground before on the last day.
I have I have recollections of them doing something like
they
do in Germany every week.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that I would have thought on the last game of the season that would have been the perfect time to have done that thing. In America, on NBC, I think that's what they did. They did a kind of live looking and just like a conference style.
Yeah.
You know, did all that. I mean, I just think that it is quite funny that it does appear actually that overseas they get better coverage of the league than we do here.
Yeah.
And I doubt very much they pay anything quite as much as we pay for it as well. So it is. It does. These days, it seems a little bit. You know, seems a bit off. But you know, I mean, in fairness, there wasn't that much going on. So
I thought they might have because it said when I switched on the match just before they postponed the Man United match, it said on the little red button.
Yeah,
hit red for more Premier League. That was brilliant. And then I went to press it, and it just didn't work. Obviously, shut down whatever that was. But so I thought I might be able to see some other games other than the other two that are being shown.
Mm.
But it wasn't to be. Just because of that health and safety officer.
Anyway.
Well, problems there. Well,
yes.
But anyway, so there wasn't that much to see there, was there, Graham?
Not that much
to see at all. Or enjoy.
Not that much at all, really. Well, there was a bit. Yeah. Well, nothing really changed, did it, really? I mean, the two North London clubs, one had already qualified for the Champions League. And they both qualified for the group stage.
They did indeed. So that's
well
happy
done.
News for both North London clubs.
Well done.
And
they,
you know, resumed their traditional positions in relation to one another.
Yes, they did.
So there's a certain, in a season of upheaval, it was reassuring that the two North London clubs assumed their traditional positions.
It was really, wasn't it?
I found it strangely reassuring.
Yeah. Otherwise, the season would have been just a bit too bonkers.
It might have been a bit weird.
Yeah.
But let's not go any further.
No.
Because there's no need to be unkind.
No. In fact, I think I burst my schadenfreude gland yesterday anyway.
Did you really?
You want to get that looked at.
I know. I really don't know. I've not been able to sit down, actually.
Oh, dear. You want to try one of those rings?
I'd never swallow one of those.
You do know that's not what you're supposed to do with them, right? But it does explain a few things.
It does explain a few things, yes. Do you think they can tell that we're actually breaking up this week?
Well, the thing is, we're not breaking up this week. We go on. It's weird. It does feel like the game's around. We're having a bit of an end-of-season party.
Yeah.
But actually, we're not. We're back next week doing it again. We're going all the way through this.
Yeah, well, we're
breaking July after Europe.
Yes, yeah. We're going to be changing hats, though, over the next few weeks, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes, really? Indeed. Because we're going to be lining up some... We're going to do something different in the Euros. We're going to start bringing some guests in, Skyping in some guests. So, you know, we've got one guy already lined up who's a listener and is quite keen on getting on. I'm going to be asking a few more people as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We're looking forward to the Euros.
Yeah. How do you think the Premier League ended for your respective teams?
From my point of view, it was absolutely bloody fantastic.
Yes.
In the end.
Yeah. Well, you know, 17th, that'll
do.
All you needed, wasn't
that
it?
That
is
really? All you need,
yeah.
So I was really pleased, obviously, with the ultimate results. Big Sam did a great job.
He did.
In the end. Yeah. And he got the best out of a bunch of players that had no confidence in themselves when he came over, when he came to us, rather. And we brought in some really good players in the transfer window, and I think that...
need a few more in the summer?
Probably about 8.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think that Sunderland's problem, yes, I think you're right, is confidence.
Mm.
I don't see any reason why, with a good pre-season, with the same manager, and if they can't make a decent start, and I'm sure that Sunderland, really, all they really need is to have a decent start, and then they will be comfortably mid-table. Even with the squad that they have, but I'm sure that Sam will bring in two or three fresh faces as well, and I'm certain, obviously, I'm sure some people will go as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't think it needs the revolution that you might think. I don't think I don't think Sunderland are that bad. The fact that they keep pulling their asses out of this suggests that there's locked inside there is a good team.
I think that the revolution is going to be in the stability, because we haven't had that since Martin O'Neill left.
Yeah.
We've been all over the place since then. So I think the biggest change we can have is just to have a nice, stable, not mental season where we trust someone with a level head to go and buy some decent players and not try and rule the world, you know, because we were never going to do that.
No.
I think, yeah, it'll just be nice to have Sam in there.
Will it be nice to have a season where we don't have a special episode in March about Sunderland's new manager?
Yeah, that'll be really good.
That would be great.
I'll personally miss that tradition. But, you
know, it is.
I'm willing to sacrifice it.
It's as much a tradition now as the advent calendar.
It is.
Yes, it is.
It is. But I was very pleased, obviously. And anybody who cares to follow me on the Twitter would notice my, I think Terry put it as a dignified reporting of events that evening.
It was, it was a bit more dignified.
It was very dignified.
I did worry about your Schadenfreude going back. I hope he's got some ointment.
Winning the match that keeps you in the league and relegates your closest rivals. I mean, you know, if you're not going to feel Schadenfreude during that, then there's something wrong.
I was feeling Schadenrougher the next morning.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
Schaden hangover. Yeah, yeah.
What about you?
It's been a disappointing season in some respects because of the promising start and the way that it's finished up, and then, you know, sort of getting humped by Southampton in the last game of the season. Although they are a very good side and clearly better than us, it's sort of it's all a bit meh. So, I mean, I'm not foolish enough not to think that any season in which Crystal Palace stay in the top division is by definition a good season.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean I have to enjoy it though. I'm happy, very happy, and very grateful that Palace will remain for a fourth consecutive season.
Nice. Actually lost more games than Sunderland did this season.
That doesn't
surprise really
me at all. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, that run truly horrific. And we've said it before, but we would have been down by a mile if we had replicated that in the first half of the season.
Nice to get a few results in before the end of the season and of course have the FA Cup final, which I think really, I mean, although it would be lovely if Palace did win it, I think this is almost like, you know, you can go there, and as long as you don't do an Aston Villa last season, then...
As long as we don't get...
Yeah.
But I'd like to think that United perhaps aren't as good as that and that, you know, we're made of stronger stuff and we'll be able to avoid a thrashing, but I mean, you'd have to say that the form tells you that United are by some margin a better team than Crystal Palace, and should therefore be favourites to win.
They should be.
So,
but it's all in one game.
Exactly. So I mean, and there's no, and I certainly wouldn't expect the players to take that attitude. I'd expect the players to go in there expecting to win.
No, yeah,
because you know that's their job. So it's just so the season obviously for me isn't over, but obviously for the Premier League season is over, but for me the season doesn't really finish until Saturday, and then I can sort of take a deep breath.
Any predictions for the fight?
My prediction for the fight? Pain.
I love that.
Yes, it's a perfect response.
It is perfect.
I wouldn't be surprised if anyone would think that's a really good response to asking.
Indeed,
for
I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah. Well, the squad was announced today.
For whom?
For England.
For England.
Yeah.
Ooh, well, for England, James.
You just can't get off. You just keep on trying to put those Bond references in, don't you? Roy announced his 26-man squad.
Yes,
for today, for the tournament,
and to be whittled down to 23.
23 at the end of the month. He's got until the end of the month to decide which three are going to be unlucky enough to remain here.
So Smoking Jack's got that long to.
It was interesting because obviously Roy was at Highbury on the last day.
He was at Highbury, was he?
He was, yeah. He was at the Emirates.
It would have been great. Was he looking to buy a he's finally gone mad.
He's seen an old man. He's like, don't like me, you know. Always call things by their old name.
He got out
at Gillespie Road tube station, crossed the road.
It always used to be here.
when he turned up at the FA headquarters to deliver the squad, we went to Soho Square instead. Yeah.
Everyone was still waiting there at Wembley.
He turns up at Filbert Street last season. Find a load of whatever's at Filbert Street.
How many? I didn't see the Arsenal game. How many did he play the whole game, Smoking Jack? Or
no, he came off in the second half.
Wise choice.
Yeah,
Smoking Jack.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I do think so. I mean, it's difficult because one thing Arsenal have missed in the second half of this season are midfield players that can break down deep line defences. So when people put eight men behind the ball. Although we've got players that can pass and pass and pass and pass, we don't have that many players that can just run straight at players and get past them, or do that little jinky passes. The two players that are the best at it in the Arsenal squad, well, the three players that are really good at it, there's Rzyski, who's never fit, and obviously left the club yesterday. But there's Cazorla and there's Wilshere. Missing one of those players, you know, well, that's fine because you're probably only going to play two of them anyway. But to miss all of those players is just it is annoying because and that's been the problem with Arsenal, just haven't been able to break down teams.
Yeah, how would Oscar Wilde have put it? To lose one attacking midfielder may be regarded as a misfortune. To lose two seems more like carelessness. I agree. I think that England don't have players with those qualities in abundance, and so therefore should take something of a punt with Jack Wilshere, despite the fact that he has barely played.
Yeah.
Three games, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'd say take him because he's going to be as fresh as a daisy.
Well, there is the other way of looking at it. Yeah,
because you've got to look at players like Dele Alli, who can play that role as well.
Sure.
Yep.
And will put in a really good performance there. But you know, he's just coming at the end of a really, really hard season. And
flat out.
And how much is he got left in the tank?
Yeah.
My guess is probably he's got loads left in the tank because you know, he's got that youthful exuberance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you worry about the Drinkwater and Vardy for the same reason, perhaps, that they're going to be flat out and for the Euros? You think? I mean, obviously they go. Yeah. I mean, Drinkwater, they paved the way for Drinkwater. He was in the last squad, and it's, you know, I mean, it looked, and he didn't disgrace himself, and obviously Roy thinks he's good. Vardy is a complete no-brainer. There would have been uproar if he hadn't been picked. That being said, the concern is that whether or not they can keep that going. I mean, you get the impression that these Leicester players would probably might be better off, better served spending the next 3 months in bed.
Yeah.
You must be exhausted.
Yeah, the level of fitness with that Leicester team, as we said last week, is incredibly high.
Yeah.
No one doubt that they'll probably need a rest, but I think maybe...
Yes.
They could probably just keep up the charge.
It's the mental, dexterity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they now that they've achieved their goal, do they switch off? And that can have a profound effect, I suspect, on physical fitness as well.
And I just think if they are still kind of on the charge, you know, they're still smelling blood when they get out to France. They could hit the ground running.
Let's hope so.
Still, and that's my concern about seeing Wilshere in there. Is that, you know, I mean, there's no doubt that when he's fit, he's an incredible player for all the reasons you said. But I think it's quite a gamble taking somebody who's only played three games. So
yeah, I mean, wait and see. I mean, because there's Barkley in there as well, and I mean, but Everton have been largely terrible this season, and Barkley, although talented, I think that commentators have suggested that he hasn't moved on and finessed his game in the way that you might expect a player of his talent to do so. Now, he could go into this European Championship and he could be explosive and brilliant, or he could actually just come up massively short and not suited. And there is only really one way of finding out. This is Roy's opportunity, I suppose, to try and make those determinations and that determination himself before we get serious. But he doesn't have a great deal of time. And the same could be said with Stones, who I've advocated his inclusion earlier, and I have to climb back a little bit from that because I have subsequently watched him at Everton a couple of times, and you know, he suffers from the same malaise as the rest of that squad. They've been very poor. But that being said, Roberto Martinez is not the England manager, and so perhaps that in itself is a good thing for those Everton players' point of view.
Well, even Leighton Baines had a terrible season. And he's a fine, fine player. And I was surprised not to see him in the team, actually, just knowing what he can do.
Yeah, there has been a tendency of late to have quite a lot of Everton defenders in the England team, in the England squad anyway, and there's only one.
Who's made it? Yeah, Jagielka's been not there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mark Noble's not there, and he was trending on Twitter, or his name, I should say, was trending on Twitter.
Right.
Due to a degree of uproar. It should be said that he's not there. I don't wonder if you guys had an opinion on that.
Well, yeah, I think that's a perfectly valid call, really. I mean,
to be upset that he didn't get picked.
Yeah, because he's been part of a team, a West Ham team, that seems to have punched above its weight all season.
Yeah.
It's had a couple of really good standout players. It's had a couple of really good emerging players as well. Mm. And it's got people like Noble there who have been there sort of like as the cement between these elements in the side.
The emerging narrative is that Wilshire's going but Noble's not going, and this seems ridiculous because Wilshire's hardly played and Noble has played a lot and is bang in form.
But if you're comparing those two players, then I don't think you're getting the point. Yeah.
No, I don't think you're picky. I don't think Noble is not going because Wilshire is going. I think Noble is not going because Drinkwater is going.
Yeah.
Mm. I suspect that's the truth.
I would think that's probably more the case there.
Yeah.
I think if you put Wilshire in at this stage, you don't put him in just because you're going to drop him out at the end of the month.
No. I think that there's still a chance. Well, he's got to demonstrate his fitness.
Yeah.
I think that that's the only area of concern. If he's fit, then he plays. And Hodgson clearly thinks that he's a player of high quality. And he's right. He is. It's just frustrating that we've not seen any. I mean, very frustrating for Arsenal fans, but it's frustrating as an England fan that we've not seen that. But it isn't too late. But I would still say it is a punt.
I think the biggest surprise, not the biggest surprise, there's two surprising inclusions in there. One I'm quite pleased about, Townsend, who I think's had a storming season since he went to Newcastle.
He had an amazing game yesterday.
Yeah.
I watched.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I watched the when they do the match choice on Sky, I got to watch the whole game.
The whole game. Yeah.
Yes. Wow, you must have enjoyed that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I told you my schadenfreude was really. Well, anyway, I won't go into
it. Townsend obviously having a good game against his old club as well.
Oh yeah. Well, he was going to come off at one stage, and I think he came over and had a word, and they said, "No, yeah, you're right, you can stay on."
But he was frozen out at Spurs, wasn't he? And he did really well.
Sure,
there's
two sides of the story.
Well, he wasn't playing anyway. Yeah. And the other one is Delph for City, who's a fine player, but he's played like 10 to 14 games.
Yeah, he's another one who's not played a lot.
I would think. For me personally, I think he's one of the names that is probably going to come off. I think whoever starts against Australia, you've got to think, hang on. Am I going to be, because that one's actually this month, isn't it?
Someone tells the Australians that it's a friendly.
Yeah.
They'll all be a bit delicate. They'll feel a bit delicate for that one.
Yeah. Mm.
But it's got potential to be a very tasty midfield. I wonder if they'll play wide players or whatever. I mean, you could be Dyer and Ali and possibly Wilshire in, you know, as a three. That's pretty tasty, you've got to say. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily going to win, but it's an emphasis on youth, and there's options there. In that midfield, there's options there. And with Vardy and Kane, and if he's fit, Sturridge, some real...
I'm quite interested to see Rashford in the squad.
Yes.
Surprise inclusion, though, isn't it?
Yes, I think it's more about the case of him getting together with the squad.
Yep.
I mean, he's had a huge impact since he's come in, and it just looks like a natural player.
Yeah.
But when you've got people in form like Kane and Vardy, I mean, even like on yesterday's game, Kane looked streets ahead of everyone else out there. But he just didn't have any service yesterday.
No.
No one was finding him at all. But you know, Kane is. I just can't think of why people are saying Kane or Vardy when you said, "Well, you play them both."
Yeah. Think you should try and make that work if you can.
Yeah, because I think Kane is perfectly suited to that number 10 role.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, sorry, Wayne, but he is.
Yeah, no, Kane can play with his back to goal.
Yeah.
Surely.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. No, Vardy definitely is a run onto the through ball guy.
Yeah, definitely.
And Kane is a much better player with his back to goal than Rooney is.
To be honest with you, I don't even know why Rooney's in that squad, to be honest with you.
Well,
I mean, he's had a disappointing season. As we said before many times, I mean, he's worn out because of the length of his career already. Mm. But a fine player on his day, but I mean, I just don't think he should have been in the squad. I think Defoe has a better shout than Rooney.
But yeah,
I really do.
Yeah.
If you're looking at veteran strikers who are in form, then you would go with Defoe if that was your criteria for picking a player. But, I mean, it isn't in Rooney's case, is it? Yeah. That's not the criteria.
No.
In fairness, the odd balance or imbalance of picking an England side or any international side, but specifically an England side, is that picking a team of players that will work together as a team, picking a group of players who are on form and should therefore be picked because they're on form, and picking players who are so big that you daren't drop them is a balance that most England managers have failed to strike.
Yeah.
I don't know. Time will tell whether Roy has done it with this one. But you may not agree with every name in this squad, but I think the only player that you could say that he has picked almost for political reasons is Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Even Wilshere has been picked on footballing ability because he believes that he is the best player and therefore he wants to pick him. But I don't know whether or not, I wonder in his heart of hearts whether he can genuinely, objectively say that Wayne Rooney is one of the best strikers.
Yeah.
But his experience that he brings, and I again, you know, the impact that he makes in the dressing room as well, it might well be that he would be too much of a loss. But I would be concerned if he was going to be starting for England. And that concern has not changed. And you have to wonder whether or not if Welbeck had been fit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, who would have been one missing out? I suppose naturally you look at that 26-man squad and you think, well, Rashford wouldn't have been there because Welbeck would have been.
Yeah.
Mm. Maybe that's the reason why Rashford's there, rather than just to give him the experience. Yeah. But now I suppose, you know, you've got to look at it and say, well, you know, this is the opportunity has made itself available for you. Also, as well, if Henderson maybe had regained fitness, then Noble may well have got in there. Mm. I think that's probably a more reasonable...
Yeah. But he didn't look at Noble, though, did he, Roy? Noble, I don't think, was really in his... Yeah. You get the impression that Noble was never in his thoughts, never seriously.
I do think as well with Roy, he does stand by the players you've got in there.
Yeah.
So, and that's a perfectly
reasonable
thing to do.
You can argue as to whether or not that's the right thing to do or not, but it is not an unreasonable way of going about your business.
Mm. Exactly.
I mean, a manager is entitled to make that choice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. So we're looking forward to it now, though. Did this ramp up the excitement a bit more for you? Did it make you feel a bit more? Yeah,
tweaked my nipples a bit.
Yeah, it did. It's a nice, looks like a balanced squad, and a squad you can get behind. I don't expect too much from it, but
Well, you mean you've got completely managed expectations?
I at the moment, at least, yes. In May, but
yeah. In June,
there's still a bit to go yet. When once we get to June, I'm sure.
I mean, how are your expectations?
They're managed.
We're all being quite cool about it.
We're pretty cool.
Okay, I'm probably going to put a marker down here on the pod just so that when we're 4 days before the tournament kicks off, and we're all like in our moment of insanity, and we're like, oh, Joe, I've just got this feeling.
This is 1966 and all that.
Everybody, the old cliche is that at the beginning of the season, all the scores, all the points total are zeros, and everybody starts with a wave of optimism. And that's right. You should feel that optimism, and England fans should be no different.
No, really.
And everyone else can have a good laugh at us when we fall on our asses. And, you know, but you know, we, everyone is entitled.
I mean,
let's
face it. If we don't get that, if it gets to like the start of the tournament and that hasn't kicked in, I might go to see the doctor and say, "Have you got any pills you can give me? Because there's something that's not working." I don't get that sort of feeling anymore, that little tingle. Could you please? I'm really panicking now.
Make sure he gives you the right drugs, right?
Well, on that medical note, I think it's time we brought this podcast to a close.
That was medical.
I thought you were going to say on that flaccid note.
So. I'm Dr. Terry. Please call me with your medical problems.
So, yeah, if you had a look at the squad today and you thought, nah, no, that's terrible, and why haven't they selected, and insert name here, then please get in touch with us or just go on Twitter and just...
We have had some food back, which I didn't take a note of, but the chaps who's been sending food back on Facebook, yeah. Thank you. I apologies for not picking up on it and fooding back to you.
Yes.
But please be aware that we're not ignoring your food back.
No. No.
Maybe we'll have a food back episode or something like that.
Maybe we could do, yeah. Because we're going to run out of content soon because there's no more football being played. I mean, like, we're going to have to start talking about like speculation about things. And speculation. You know, we always go a bit odd on that, don't we?
Or we just come up with different models of playing football, different formats. And, you know,
and whacked out things like no referees. Yeah.
That was the best idea I ever had.
It was. It was. It was. True. That's why we gave it a whole episode. You're going to have to come up with another one soon.
Yeah, you know, okay, I'm working on
we'll have a whole episode on that one as well.
More referees.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So from me, Graham Sibley, from Terry Defendant, and from Yoko, it's goodbye.
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 You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter at Sound of Football, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude.